all of 3 hours' sleep. The second I saw who it was, I peeled myself away from Nikki's body and sat up on the edge of the bed. Seth. Hey, man, I've got good news. Relief gusted from me. Yeah? Caleb was in front of the judge this morning for his intake hearing. He willingly accepted the offer to go into in-house rehab for 90 days, plus anger management and parenting classes. In exchange, the restraining order violation charges will be dropped. We still don't have proof of the break-in, so none of that was taken into consideration. My guts curled. That little fucker was getting off. Still couldn't stomach the idea that he'd been in Nikki's apartment, trashing it, following her and putting notes on her car. That he might hurt Brenna and Kyle again. Is that supposed to be good news? It was close to a growl. Seth chuckled like he was fully expecting what I was going to say. A whole ton better than him hitting the streets this morning, don't you think? I scrubbed a palm over my face, glancing back at Nikki, who'd rolled over in my bed, looking like the fucking best thing when her eyes fluttered open. She smiled at me. Sunshine. Yeah, man, you're right. Just hope it makes a difference.
Chapter 21. Nikki. I pulled up in front of the small house. Even though I felt a huge amount of relief that Brenna and Kyle were safe, anxiety still held me captive. My hands clammy, heart racing, stomach twisting with the kind of nausea I felt all the way into my soul. Twilight held fast to the sky, a purpled gray that hugged the earth. The hurricane lamp hanging on the wall at the side of the front door welcomed the approaching night with a soft glow. A single mammoth tree stood proud in the yard. Broad branches stretched out as if they were arms of protection, leaves green and dense and full. Sucking in a deep breath, I cut the engine and stepped out onto the sidewalk, trying to keep my feet steady underneath me. Still, I wobbled as I headed up the sidewalk and climbed the steps leading to the porch. Through the walls of the small house, I could hear the distorted sound of Penelope crying, the echo of movement around the house. Quietly, I rapped at the door, praying the gentle sound would let my sister know I wasn't there to hurt her, but there was no chance I could respect her petition for me to turn a blind eye, to pretend as if I hadn't seen her at that meeting. For the moment, it might have made it easier on her. But in the end, I knew it'd be nothing less than a disservice. Shuffling resonated from the other side of the door, the little cries getting louder the closer the footsteps came. A sheer drape covering the long vertical window that ran the side of her door rustled. I could feel the way she froze, hesitated, debated. The longest second passed. I knew that was all it was. But in it, all my sister's reservations and fears pummeled me. Stone after stone. I was gasping by the time the metal slid, the lock gave, and my sister peeked out the crack in the door. She didn't ask what I was doing there. She already knew. Sammy, I whispered. A tear leaked from her eye, and I could see that she was bouncing Penelope, holding her tight while the little thing fussed. I asked you not to come here like this. I can't do this with you. A lump grew thick at the base of my throat. I tried to swallow around it, but still, the words stuck. How could I ignore it? Ignore you? Old wounds lashed across her face. She seemed almost frantic as she dipped down and pressed a bunch of kisses to Penelope's forehead, the tiny girl's fussing increasing to an all-out squall, obviously hungry, little fists reaching for her mama. Sammy bounced her a little more.
I'm not ready yet, Nikki. I'm not ready. Not yet.
But you went to that meeting looking for help. The last thing I want is to get in the way of that. A tremble ran through her and my chest ached. God, I wanted to reach out and take it away. Hunt someone down. The hardest part was not knowing who or what I would be looking for. I dug out the business card I'd tucked in the back pocket of my jeans and held it out for her.
Take this. Her name is Kathy. She's been my mentor. She's amazing. You can trust her. And I promise you that she won't tell me a thing. Just call her.
With a shaky hand, Sammy reached out and took it, and then she wrapped her arm right back around her baby, card still in her hand. Relief surged.
I took a step back. I'm sorry for whatever is going on, for whatever happened. But I want you to know, whatever it is, I'm here for you whenever you're ready to talk about it. You don't ever have to be ashamed. And that is not the counselor talking. That is your sister, who will always, always be here for you, no matter what. Tears soaked her face. Thank you. I nodded quickly and took a step back, letting her know I was giving her space, but that she wasn't alone. I'm just gonna go check on Mama and Grandma. It's been too long since I stopped by there. Sammy blanched, but nodded. I started for the steps before I paused to look at her over my shoulder. Call her, Sammy. Please. Soon, she murmured, hugging her daughter close, eyes meeting mine intensely before she stepped back and snapped the door shut, leaving me standing there wanting to break through that wall of wood to find her, fight for her, hold her up. All I could do was pray the little nudge I'd given her would be enough. Headlights cast a dingy illumination on the secluded area as I wound down the bumpy dirt road. It was only a half mile outside of town, but it felt like a million miles and another world away. Trees lined the path on both sides and reached for the heavens where they had been planted along the barbed wire fences that marked the property boundaries. It isolated the entire 10 acres from the country road that ran along the river and closed it off from the neighbors that sat on either side of the land that had been in my family for as long as anyone could remember. Oh, my grandma could tell some stories about that. I never knew what was true or exaggerated or plain made up. What I did know was I'd spent what felt like half my childhood listening to her go on about them while my little sister and I baked and sewed and ran the property. So many of our summers had been spent here, Sydney and Ollie always in the midst. How many times had we raced our bikes down this lane, shouting that the last one there was a rotten egg? Apparently, I stunk, considering I always came up short. Funny how I'd always had a smile on my face while doing it. Nostalgia rippled around me like the small waves that lapped at the shore of the lake as I made it to the clearing and pulled up in front of the old house. The historic structure oozed a vintage charm, even though it was run down and needed a whole ton of TLC. The porch planks were warped and worn, and the paint peeling, not to mention all the junk that sat around the property, broken down cars and machines and sheds filled with who knew what. No wonder they were wanting to unload some of this crap. Turning off the ignition, the headlights cut, and the interior light glowed as I snapped open my car door. I climbed out and was smacked in the face with the overwhelming scent of honeysuckle and the river and decaying earth. The dirt was rich and heavy as the air and the overhead canopy of the darkened sky that was smattered with twinkling stars. In the distance, a dog barked and bugs thrilled in the trees. Inhaling deeply, I held the warm familiarity of it all in my lungs and ambled up the creaking steps and onto the porch. I didn't knock at the door. I just turned the knob and poked my head inside. Hello? Anyone home? My mother appeared at the top of the stairs. Nikki! What on earth are you doing here? Thought I'd stop by and check in. Well, it's about time. Think it's been an age since the last time I saw you. I don't even recognize you. Light laughter filtered free. This was exactly the reason I'd come here. For the warmth. After everything that had been happening, I just needed to see my mama and grandma. The two women who had been there for me through thick and thin. There had been so much upheaval in my life. I started for the wide set of stairs. I slid my hand along the railing as I climbed. Now don't go exaggerating. It's been a whole 2 weeks since you've seen me. Not all that much has changed. That was a lie. It felt like everything had changed. Ollie and my sister and my world. I was struggling to make sense of it. She sent a playful smile my way. 2 weeks is like an eternity when it comes to your kids. So you're saying you missed me? I teased as I mounted the last step. Guess people really just can't get enough of me. I'm kind of amazing, aren't I? My being around just makes everything better. I leaned in and dropped a kiss to her cheek. She reached out and cupped mine. Totally amazing. Then she hitched up a grin. You are my daughter, after all. I laughed.
My, my, someone is full of herself. She swatted at me. Just telling it like it is, just like you. No reason to be coy when everyone knows it anyway. My heart squeezed, love overflowing. The truth was, my mama was amazing, through and through. And she was a load of fun, too, always laughing and joking and teasing, taking life by the reins and leading it where she wanted it to go. But Ollie was right about some things. Sometimes life didn't give us the choice, and tonight, there was no missing the strain that lined my mother's face. "How's Grandma?" I whispered. Mama smiled. "Ornery as ever. Why don't you go see for yourself?" "Boyd," I grinned and moved down the narrow passageway for the master bedroom at the end of the hall. The door was open, and the television blared as it blipped and threw colors across the room. Affection pulled tight across my chest, thick with nostalgia. Pausing in the doorway, I tapped at the wood. "Hey, Grandma," I called. She snapped her head my direction. She was sitting propped against a bunch of pillows in her bed. Frailer than she'd once been, but all that vigor still glinted in her eyes. She grabbed the remote and lowered the television volume.
"Well, there's my knockout of a granddaughter."
I made a scoffing sound.
"Which granddaughter is that you're talking about?"
A wide grin pulled across her wrinkled face.
"What? You think I'm senile and blind like the rest of this bunch does? Don't go writing this old lady off just yet."
I crossed the room and sat on the edge of the bed. I kissed her forehead.
"Never."
She wrapped her hand around mine.
"As if I wouldn't recognize you. Tell me you've been tearing up the town and bringing all those boys to their knees."
A soft giggle slipped out.
"Oh, you know that I am. None of them know what hit them."
Her eyes narrowed.
"And how's the boy?"
A quiver rolled down my spine, belly tipping and my pulse giving an extra kick.
"I have no idea what boy you're talking about," I said just as innocently as I could.
Probably about as innocently as the day Ollie'd brought over a bunch of firecrackers and we'd accidentally set the back lot on fire.
"I think you know exactly what boy I'm talking about. Your boy, troublemaker that he is."
She reached up and cupped my cheek.
"Tell me he hasn't been causing trouble in your world."
Well, hell, was it written all over me? Guessed it must have been, because heat went rushing across my flesh and rising to meet with the hand she held on my face.
"Who, Ollie?"
"No," I defended a little too quickly. Amusement danced across her face.
"Think he's always been the one causing all your troubles, hasn't he?"
I attempted to suck down the emotion that followed the blush and painted a big smile on my face.
"No, Grandma. He's just a friend. That's all he's ever been."
She patted my cheek.
"It's always the one who causes the biggest commotion inside us who leaves the biggest mark. Isn't that right, Megs?"
She turned to look at my mom, who was watching us just inside the room. She started our way.
"Sure is. And that boy has been nothing but a commotion since the day Nikki met him."
I waved them off.
"You two are ridiculous. He wasn't anything of the sort."
"Ha," Mama said, starting to clear up Grandma's dinner things that were on a tray.
"You were the shyest thing in the world. Then those Prestons came in and shook you up."
I frowned, and she continued.
"Now don't go looking at me like I said that was a bad thing. Those two had you soaring. Not a lot of us get to say we had friendships like that."
"That they did," Grandma agreed before she lowered her voice conspiratorially.
"Bet that boy sends you soaring now."
She winked. I swatted at her.
"Grandma."
Mischief sparkled in her eyes.
"What?"
she defended as if I was crazy.
"Have you seen him lately? Hoo-wee! Now that's one fine-looking boy."
On all things holy, how did I stumble down this rabbit hole?
"Grandma," I scolded again. "That's my friend you're talking about like he's a piece of meat."
As if I hadn't ogled him like he was every time I watched him slinging drinks behind his bar. So sexy, powerful, beautiful. Hell, I'd straight told Lilith I wanted to eat him up at least 10,000 times. But this was my grandma we were talking about. Besides, he's not a boy. Memories from last night flashed behind my eyes, hitting me hard and fast and hot.
Heat gathered in my belly, pulsing low. I inhaled a sharp breath. He was all man. Grandma grinned like she'd just won the lottery.
That's what I thought. And the fact he's no longer a boy just means it's time to make him your man.
I don't need a man to make me happy, Grandma. I just wanted this one. To fall into his safety and care because I knew I'd always belong there. She waved me off as if I was silly.
I know, you modern women living it up by yourselves. But that gets lonely after a bit, she said,
eyeing me from the corner of her eye, knowing she was hitting it just right. Dishes clinked as my mama picked up the tray and set it on the desk by the window.
Now, mama, think our Nikki here knows what she needs. Don't give her too hard of a time.
A huff left Grandma's mouth.
Is it too much to ask for another great-grandbaby before this old girl rides off into the sunset? That sweet Penelope could use a cousin to run around and get in trouble with. Nothing would make me happier than seeing a new generation taking over before this one blinks out.
I brushed my fingers through her hair. Don't talk like that.
You know it's true. Not going to be around forever.
Somberness moved through the room, and Grandma patted my hand. Not the teasing way she'd done my cheek, but with such tenderness it brought moisture to my eyes.
I'm just playing with you, girl. Not about to pressure you into something you don't want, but I sure would be happy to kick your tail in the direction that you actually want to go.
Sydney's voice moved through my mind like the softest breeze. I think it's the things that hurt the worst that mean the most, don't you? Good or bad. That's what's going to shape us, make us into who we are, guide us on the path to what we want the most. I think we'll know it when there's no other direction we can go. And I'm not going to be afraid of walking it anymore.
Some things are just worth the wait, Grandma.
I felt compelled to at least give her that. She smiled.
Mm-hmm. Just don't let him drag his feet too long.
I wondered if she could possibly know how complicated our lives had been, what the tragedy of losing Sydney had done to both of us. She sighed and settled deeper into the pillows, and I adjusted the blanket higher on her chest.
So, Grandma, I wanted to ask you, did you sell Grandpa's old Bel Air?
A small smile lit at the corner of her mouth.
Yeah. Todd came back to take care of me the way your mama has been doing. He's cleaning up this place, getting it back into shape. Lord knows I've let it go to rot these last few years. Gave him the go-ahead to sell whatever he wants since he dropped his job to come out here and fix up the house.
I smiled at her. It's good he's here. How long's he going to be staying? Her lids drifted closed.
Probably as long as I last. As long as it takes him and your mom to get rid of this place.
Grief, stark and quiet and resounding. It echoed through the room, from the clench of my heart to the flinch of my mama where she fiddled with something across the room, her back to us as if she was giving us privacy.
Did you go through that box with your sister yet?
Grandma asked, her words starting to jumble, her pain medicine surely kicking in.
Wasn't ever rich. But everything I've ever had worth anything, I put in there where I kept it in the attic.
I cringed, unable to confess someone had taken it. I didn't know what would be worse, admitting that, or the fact my apartment had been broken into in the first place. I smiled softly.
Not yet. We will soon.
The lie fell so easily. I just didn't know what else to say.
Want you and your sister to do it soon. See what you might like.
She peeked an eye open at me.
As long as it doesn't lead to the two of you getting in one of those fist fights like you used to have over those dolls. No hair pulling now.
A light chuckle rippled free.
Nah, I'm pretty sure we can handle ourselves. Unless you have something extra awesome in there.
I winked at her, and she laughed, the sound hitching when she began to cough.
You two... find the important stuff. Keep it. That would make me happier than you know.
I couldn't bring myself to respond. Instead, I eased forward and kissed her cheek. I pulled back a fraction. I'll let you rest. She gave a small nod before she was already drifting off. Reluctantly, I stood,
watching over her as she got swept away into a deep sleep. I turned to face my mama, who was watching me. Slowly, I approached her and wrapped my arms around her. She stuttered through a deep breath, doing her best to quiet a sob that clawed at her throat. I just held her while she cried, knowing there were no words that would make it better. "I'm sorry," she whispered in my ear after a minute. My head shook. "Nothing to be sorry for, Mama." She nodded, and I held her out by the arms, voice serious. "If you need to rest, call me. I'll be happy to sit with her." Regretfully, she looked at her mother before turning back to me. "I think I'll take all the minutes I have. There'll be plenty of time for rest later." Quiet sorrow moved between us. "Okay," I said, wiping the tear that escaped my eye. "Just promise you'll call if you need me." "I will. I'll be back soon." My worry for my sister was right there, hovering in my spirit, wanting to be released. No matter how heavily it weighed, I wouldn't break my sister's trust that way. I had to let her come to me, to us, on her own time. "I love you, sunshine," she said, and I almost blushed at the way Ollie's nickname for me had spilled over and clung to the rest of my family. "I love you more," I told her, backing away. "Not a chance." We smiled at each other as I edged across the groaning planks before I turned in the doorway and bounded back downstairs. I shrieked when the door suddenly burst open just as I was reaching for the latch, my hand flying up to cover the thunder that was suddenly pounding my heart. I stepped back, still rattled. "Uncle Todd," I said, trying to force down the nerves that spiked in my body. I hated I was still on edge after everything that had happened.
"Well, if it isn't Nicky Lou."
He stood there, years older than I remembered, looking so much different. Lines creased his face, and a few more pounds were around his middle. But the oil and grease staining his hands wasn't new. "It's nice to see you," I said.
"Good to see you, too. It's been way too long."
"It has." Awkwardness spun around us, and I hesitated before I said, "I just wanted you to know my friend bought that old Bel Air. I'm glad it's going to someone we know." A frown pulled across his brow.
"The Bel Air?"
I smiled at him. "It's fine. Grandma told me she is having you sell off some stuff since you left your job to come here and help out. It's good you're here for her." Unease moved around him, and he nodded, as if he wasn't sure he wanted to take the praise.
"It's not a problem."
I gestured for the door. "Well, I was just leaving. We'll have to catch up more soon." I sidestepped around him. From behind, I could feel him swivel around to look at me.
"Which friend was that?"
he asked. I peeked back at him. "Ollie." He grimaced, then gave a tight nod. Without another word, I ducked out into the night, wondering why it was that I felt so off-kilter.
Chapter 22. Ollie. 17 years old. A pebble pinged against the window. When it got no response, he picked up another and did it again, feeling impatient and antsy as he stood outside of Nikki's grandma's house in the middle of the night. Hard in his throat, he picked up another and did it again. This time, the pebble he picked up was a whole lot closer to being a rock. He cringed when it clanged against the glass, then breathed out in relief when Nikki's face appeared in front of the drape. There was confusion in her expression before a smile pulled to her face when she saw him standing beneath a big tree. She ducked away, and he was sure it was his pulse that would wake the entire house with the way it boomed, excitement and want filling him so full he thought he just might burst. Not pretty, but it was the truth. This girl drove him right out of his mind. He was already moving her direction by the time she slipped out the front door and silently snapped it shut behind her. She padded across the porch and down the stairs as he jogged her way. They met in the middle, and he lifted her a couple of inches from the ground so he could feel her weight, spinning her around as he buried his face in the sweetness of her skin. Honey and light. She giggled and clung to him, her voice quieted to a whisper. "What are you doing here? I needed to see you. And what if it had been your sister you woke up instead of me?" He shrugged a little and settled Nikki back on her feet. Then I'd tell her I was here to check on you two. Pretty much the truth anyway. Nikki stepped back and bit her bottom lip. She took his hand in hers, swaying lightly, spinning around, peeking back at him as she danced them off into the secluded cover of the towering trees. Is that all you're here for, Oliver Preston? To check on us? There was a tease to her voice, and every inch of his body reacted. He followed. Where else was he going to go? He was enraptured, enchanted. This girl, magic. He rushed her, scooping her up from behind. Her feet kicked into the air as she squealed quietly, her back to his chest and his mouth at her ear. You know why I'm here. And why's that? She played along when he set her back down. She swung back around to face him. He rushed his fingers through the softness of her hair. For you. And now that you're here, what are you going to do with me? In a second flat, he had her pressed against the old car her grandpa still drove where it was parked behind a shed at least 100 yards from the house, where no one could see them. First off, I'm going to kiss you. He did. He took her face in his hands and he kissed her, slow and long. He felt like he was standing in the middle of the river, taken by the current, unable to stand. She sighed, and he hummed as he dropped his forehead to hers. I was going nuts not getting to do that all day. Rex and Sydney were around the whole time, and he hadn't gotten to sneak a second alone with Nikki. Hiding this was getting harder and harder, but somehow, finally telling everyone after all this time felt harder to do, too. They'd been doing it for so long, it was beginning to feel like a lie. A sin. You're driving me crazy, Nick, he whispered in her mouth. Don't know what I'm supposed to do. The second I'm away from you, all I can think about is the next time I get to be with you. You've got me so spun up inside. Her hands fisted in his shirt. And the second you walk away, I feel a piece of myself go missing. A breath left him, and he ran his lips up her cheek and whispered at her temple. Sunshine. Beast, she teased quietly. He fumbled with the door latch behind her, and Nikki was giggling as he angled her around to open the door. He fell into the seat and took her with him. She was quick to straddle his lap, hands on his shoulders, rocking against him. If he didn't get to feel all of her soon, he might die. He was sure of it, because her rubbing on him like that was nothing but torture. The best kind of torture. He just didn't know how much more of it he could take. His hands went to her waist. What if we stole the keys to this car and just drove away? She was kissing him, murmuring in his mouth. Where would we go? Anywhere? Everywhere? He rumbled. Just so long as we're together. Can't wait until it's just us, you and me. My girl riding at my side in my badass car. She giggled. The sound of it vibrated right through the center of him. You want an old car like this? Their hands were everywhere, touching and exploring. He groaned. Hell yes. Hot rod, huh? She whispered. You know it. Nothing cooler than that. Gonna have one by the time I'm 18, just wait. Then it's just you and me. No more hiding. Are you going to wait that long to take me? He stilled at her question, because her voice had gone different, something needy, no longer a tease. He pulled back and looked at her through the milky light of the moon, trusting eyes and freckled skin and heated body. You want that? Didn't matter, it was dark, he could feel the warmth rise to her cheeks. Yes? He swallowed around the lump that almost strangled him. Nerves and excitement and lust. He stared up at her, watching her expression when he said, Next weekend. There's a big bonfire at the lake. Supposed to camp with a bunch of people from school. Tell your mom you're spending the night with Sydney. Her head angled to the side, that same worry they had over his sister taking over her features. And what am I supposed to tell Sydney? A sigh, pilfered free. He didn't want to be annoyed, irritated that they were sneaking around because they were afraid they might offend her or hurt her. We'll figure it out, okay? We'll make it work. I just want to be with you. She wound her arms around his neck. I just want to be with you too. Chapter 23. Ollie. Traditions. It was hard to pinpoint exactly how they were formed, how they came into existence. It was like a slow slide of habits that gathered and merged until they stuck. Most people viewed them as a good thing. Holidays and family and celebration, cherished memories repeated again and again. This tradition? It was nothing less than masochistic, hot blades cutting into my skin. Needlessly, considering the scars were already there, etched in me so deeply they could never be erased. Kale and Rex both inclined back on different pieces of furniture in the back office at Olive's. Rex with the bottle this year, pouring it into the shooters.
Seems crazy this date has come up again. Years going by faster than I can make sense of them.
A sorrowful, wistful sound filtered from Kale.
Yeah, time just keeps rolling, things changing so quickly. And still, I can close my eyes and I swear, I'm back there at the lake that night.
Shivers scraped across the surface of my skin. Agony. Rex peered over at me.
You sure you want to do this again?
What's changed? My voice was grit, even though the words were feeling more and more like a lie. The first time we'd gathered on the anniversary of this night, we'd been 18. They'd found me at the lake, alone, looking at the water like it might conjure her existence on the glassy, darkened surface. They'd climbed down on either side of me, Kale with all his quiet understanding and support, Rex wearing some sort of unfathomable grief on his face. He'd pulled out this massive bottle of cheap whiskey, twisted the cap, and handed it to me. I'd chugged what had to have been half of it until I'd choked on the burning liquid that had pooled in my empty gut. Then the three of us had sat there for hours, passing it back and forth until it was empty and the sun was coming up. Two of them swimming in my loss, keeping me from drowning. I'd pushed Nikki away. Hadn't seen more of her that unbearable year than stolen glances that had damned near destroyed the last bit of me. Cutting her out of my life had hurt like a fucking bitch, but how could I have her when the cost of wanting her was my sister? I couldn't. And I'd hated and hated and hated, and that feeling had built for so many years until it suffocated me. Until I could no longer see straight, which was how I'd ended up at Nikki's door a year ago tonight. Nothing but a selfish bastard. Taking her. Of course, I couldn't even remember how I'd gotten there since I'd been so messed up that my rational mind could no longer convince my spirit that I wasn't allowed to have her. It was like finding peace in the darkest night. Then, like a piece of shit, I'd slipped from her bed before dawn, fucking wrecked, leaving her lying there naked where I'd been tangled with her. The whole time wanting to climb right back into her arms, to wrap her up and never let her go. But I'd left her there because I'd had to. What other choice did I have? Didn't think I'd ever been so torn about anything. I had been wrong. Tonight I felt like I was being shredded in two. Never so caught up in right and wrong. The girl once again a secret. My best secret. One I wanted to keep. Just didn't know what kind of person that made me if I did. Rex handed Kale a shot glass and then gave one to me. The three of us met in the middle of the small office. We lifted the shots above our heads. To Sydney. We'll never forget. Glasses clinked, and we tossed back the shots. I swallowed it down. Heat blistered my stomach and crawled through my senses. This date would haunt me forever. But I could feel something. Something changing. Kale clapped me on the back.
You okay, man?
A huff left my nose and I scrubbed a palm over my face. Not sure that's the right description. Okay would mean forgetting. He looked at me seriously.
Not sure there's any chance of that. Don't think you're ever going to forget. And I don't think you'd want to.
He started to move around me to head for the door. All the girls and Broderick would be waiting, probably wondering where the hell we'd slipped off to. He paused when he was right at my side. Both of us facing opposite directions. He reached out and squeezed my shoulder, his attention cast to the ground.
But it's been 14 years, Ollie. If I knew Sydney at all, she's looking down on you, wishing you'd finally let her go, wishing that you'd finally let yourself live.
I didn't say anything, and he opened the door and stepped out into the bar, the muted thrum of the band playing tonight growing loud as he did. Without looking back, he snapped it shut, closing Rex and me in. The beat once again distorted, faint and vibrating through the walls. Warily, I looked up to meet Rex's piercing gaze. Something about it was unsettling, remorseful but strong.
"He's right, man." The words caught in his throat. "It's time."
I looked to the floor, hand running down my beard.
"Not sure that's possible. Not until I find her."
He winced, eyes slamming closed and hands turning to fists.
"You're hung up on an impossibility, Ollie. It's time you admitted that."
Part of me wanted to lash out at him, tell him to fuck off because he couldn't understand. This was my sister we were talking about. They'd barely even been friends, only knowing each other because he and I hung out. The other part knew he was right. 14 years I'd been searching. Cutting out every fucking news article about her that had ever been written, comparing it against other cases, sure that, if I was patient enough, I would notice something. Piece together a clue that had been missed. Hell, that had been part of the reason I'd opened this bar in the first place, figuring one day someone would slip, say something they shouldn't, or maybe someone would say something they didn't know was important in the first place. I felt that hope slipping away. What scared me most was I didn't know where that left me. Rex hesitated, the words almost a groan when he released them.
"I miss her too, man. You think if I could go back, I wouldn't do things differently?"
I looked up, trying to gauge where he was coming from, what he was trying to get at. He sighed, shook whatever thoughts he was having off.
"Everyone's out there, together. The people who care about you most. Don't neglect that. You're gonna regret it if you do. Time goes by so fast, Ollie. So damned fast. You've got to treasure the days you're given."
An echo of my mother's screams filled my ear, the impact of them thrashing in my spirit, her fists a phantom pain on my chest.
"It's your fault. I trusted you. You were supposed to take care of her. You promised you'd take care of her."
"Not sure I even deserve to be out there with them."
Rex strode for the door, pausing with it open as he turned, his words pointed.
"Don't you?"
For 20 minutes I sat alone with only my thoughts and the sounds of the bar seeping through the walls to keep me company. Processing, sifting through my thoughts and my worries. The deep-seated need to cling to this day, to the memory of Sydney, to give her the devotion that she deserved. The other part was all fucked up over Nikki. Nikki fucking Walters. Invading my life when I didn't know how to keep her there. How to make her fit. The girl so fucking wrong. So fucking right. Like I said, I'd never been so torn. Finally, I forced myself to get it together, got behind my bar, and went to work. Seemed impossible, but the smile tacked to my face wasn't all that hard to find, considering I was surrounded by the group of people who had gathered directly across from me. Laughing and treasuring and cherishing. Most of all, Nikki was right there. Safe. I poured Lilith a glass of chilled white wine, whipped up a pitcher of margaritas for Rinna, Hope, and Jenna. After that, I handed a beer to Rex, filled a tumbler of whiskey for Kale, and passed a glass of red wine to Broderick. I went to work on Nikki's drink, listening to my friends carrying on, having a great time. Their laughter rang free, blending with the beat of the band where they'd taken up residence at the bar like they owned the place. Their voices were loud and their mood a little bit rowdy. From across the bar, Nikki met my eyes. Tentatively. Tenderly. The girl sending me her soft encouragement. Aware and sweet and filled with all that light I'd taken for granted for all these years. I sent her a covert smile back as I slid her pink Cosmo across the gleaming wood in her direction, telling her I saw her, that I felt her, that I knew this day wasn't easy on her either, that she had just as much on her mind as me, maybe more. I was grateful there was a smile on her face, too, that she was acting like her normal self, her old self, laughing and teasing and playing with her friends. Jenna, who was Hope's best friend, squealed, jerking my attention away from Nikki's hypnotizing stare.
"I knew there was a reason I loved you."
She wrapped both hands around the margarita glass, rimmed with salt, bringing it to her nose and inhaling like it was some kind of rose or some shit. My brows pitched high. "That's the reason you love me? My bar?" I razzed, shaking my head like I was completely outraged. Jenna's brown hair swished around her face.
"You've got to admit that having a friend who owns a bar is filled with all kinds of perks. I wish I would have known you earlier. A girl could use a guy like you right about the time she turns 21. I have major catching up to do."
"I take offense to that." Rex waved his beer in the air. "Why do you think I still put up with your sorry ass?" I lifted my arms out to the sides. Because I'm awesome, that's why. This was always just our way, going from heavy to light in a second flat, giving each other shit as if they hadn't just been right there, coming beside me when they always knew I needed them most. Kale laughed.
"Sure, sure, man. You just go on thinking that."
Hope swatted at his chest.
"Leave Ollie alone."
She turned her attention to me, her eyes wide with playful sympathy.
"I know you're awesome. Ignore these monsters."
Incredulous, Kale snorted.
"Monsters?"
"Monsters," I agreed, giving Hope a smile. Kale pointed at me with his index finger, the rest of his hand still wrapped around the glass.
"If anyone looks like a monster around here, it's you. Seriously, I've seen grown men shudder in their damned boots at the sight of you. Little do they know you're nothing but a pansy under all that muscle.
What a damned waste." A smile threatened at the edge of my mouth. "Assholes. All of them." "Keep dreaming. Nothing wasted here." I flexed like one of those fuckers showing off on Venice Beach. "Guys piss their pants when they see me because they know I'm not to be fucked with. Unlike you."
Was doing my best to keep a straight face and not bust out laughing as I played along. Kale puffed out his chest.
"Oh, come on, Ollie. You know I could take you."
I laughed under my breath.
"You think so, huh?"
"Yep. Remember that time in fourth grade behind the swing sets? Totally whooped your ass, my friend."
My brow lifted. "That's because I let you win."
Nikki widened playful eyes, her attention bouncing around the group, that mesmerizing color so pretty where they glinted under the lights.
I can now attest to the fact that Ollie is, in fact, a monster, a bear, or maybe an ogre. I'm concerned for my safety. The man actually growls in his sleep.
The last week had been nothing but cruel, being with her and not being able to touch her, trying to keep that promise that I needed to figure my shit out before I hurt her again. She draped an arm around Jenna's shoulders, swore two of them might have been twins separated at birth. Lilith's hawk eyes darted between us, swore she could spot a rat from 100 miles away.
"So how is the whole roommate thing going? Should I thank you for not killing my best friend yet?"
I glanced at Nikki for a flash before I set my palms on the bar and leaned toward Lilith. "Yet" being the operative word.
Rinna giggled. "Tell me she's not as messy at your place as she is at Pepper's Pies. I swear to goodness that whirlwind leaves a trail of crumbs everywhere she goes like she's leaving behind a distress call."
Nikki's mouth dropped open.
"What in the world are you talking about, Rinna? I bust those tables faster than all those kids you hired combined. I run circles around them."
"Oh, so that explains the crop circles of breadcrumbs scattered around the floor."
"That's it. I quit."
Nikki was fighting a grin behind her over-exaggerated pout, but there was no missing the way her sexy mouth twisted with affection.
"I'm just playing," Rinna cried, rushing her friend and taking up her other side. "Don't leave me yet, I might up and die. Don't know what I'm going to do without you, crumbs and all."
"We'll find someone awesome to take my place, don't worry. I mean, hello, not as awesome, because we all know that would be totally impossible, but someone who will make do."
Rinna pouted.
"But I love you best."
"I'm feeling totally left out here."
Hope pursed her lips where she was tucked against Kale. Nikki reached out and waved her in.
"Well, get in here, then. We aren't complete without you and Lilith."
Hope didn't even hesitate. She rushed into the circle. Lilith rolled her eyes.
"Are we seriously group-hugging in the middle of the bar?"
Nikki's brows shot to the ceiling.
"You know what they say? How are your friends going to know you love them if you're not drunk at 2 a.m. on a Saturday night?"
Lilith glanced at the glittering diamond watch wrapped around her wrist, a gift from Broderick for her birthday. It's 9, Nikki. 9. Semantics, get your ass over here.
From behind, Broderick gave her a tiny shove, his grin wolfish when she looked back at him.
Go on, baby. Get a little of that group love. That's enough fantasies for an entire week.
Nikki pointed at him. Ew, Brody, just no. Don't you dare go there.
Yeah, don't go there. And here I'd thought I liked the guy.
But Rex was shaking his head. Kale was chuckling, and the girls were standing and hugging and jumping and laughing as they swayed in this big huddle, and there was nothing I could do but grin right the hell along. My chest tightened. Sweet agony. Because a piece was missing, and I'd give fucking anything for Sydney to be there. My mind flashed with what she might look like now. 14 years gone. Where she'd be in her life. If she'd be married, have kids, or if she'd be living in some faraway city, chasing down a dream.
Hey, boss, Cece called from the other end of the bar, breaking into the thoughts that cut me down at the knees.
I jerked my attention that way. So maybe Nikki had a few things right about Cece. My head bartender was nothing short of a tattooed sex goddess, long jet-black hair, the scraps she wore screaming seduction, almost as loud as the red painted on her lips. Maybe it wasn't so strange for Nikki to make assumptions about us. People would probably take one look at Cece and think her my perfect match. Two of us cut from the same cloth. Or maybe chipped from the same stone. Truth was, I had never even had the urge. Didn't mean it didn't bug the hell out of me that Nikki had brought it up. I hated the idea that she had ever felt an ounce of what I'd felt when I'd had to stomach looking at her with another man. Wanted to dig my nails into my mind and claw all those images from my consciousness. What's up? I hollered, grateful for the distraction. She cocked a wry grin, and the poor asshole sitting at the bar across from her was nothing but a puddle at her feet.
Could use backup. Pack of F-boys, 11 o'clock.
I laughed under my breath. Only Cece. Fuck boy. Frat boy. As far as she was concerned, that title was as interchangeable as the guys that held it were abhorrent. She slapped them with a douche label across their pretty boy foreheads before they even had a chance to make it through rush week. I rapped my fist on the counter, pointed at my friends. Be right back. I moved to the opposite end of the bar, sliding in beside Cece to help her fill the beers for the rowdy table that was up close to the band. Did my best not to cringe when I saw the guy who walked through the door. Talk about a douche. Matt Walker. Asshole we'd all known since high school. Something about him festered right below my skin. Oh, that was right. Fucker had wanted to get his grimy hands on Nikki for just as long as I had known him. Didn't matter that he was all fitted posh business suits and shiny fucking shoes to match his shiny fucking smile. Asshole was slimy as fuck. A weasel. You good? I asked Cece when I'd finished helping her fill the huge order. Could feel the tether pulling me back that way, toward Nikki, who I knew would be the prick's target. Time and again. She'd left with him once a few years ago, and I'd about damn lost my mind. Thought of it happening again had panic laying siege to my veins.
Yep, think we have it under control now. Let's just hope they don't F up the rest of my night.
The girl smirked, hip tossed out to the side. My laugh was wry. Wouldn't want to tangle with that one. I booked it back to my post. Lilith had already spotted Matt, and she bumped her hip into Nikki's to get her attention.
Oh-ho, look who just walked in. It's Makeout Matt.
She sang like she didn't know she was basically crushing me beneath her red-soled shoe. Nikki's gaze flashed to me. Remorse and awareness and a lifetime of unanswered questions. Where do we go from here? Who are we? Do I belong to you? Most importantly, do you belong to me? I gulped under the force of them, wanting nothing more than to reach out, touch her face, maybe climb right the hell over this bar, take her in my arms and kiss her in front of all our friends. Claim her as mine. She'd been a secret for so damned long. Problem was, I still didn't know if I deserved to stand in her light. Possession tearing through my senses, I watched as the prick made his way through the crowd like he had no real destination, no care in the world. Still, it was obvious as hell he knew exactly what direction he was heading. Lilith nudged Nikki with her elbow.
You should totally give him a chance, Nikki. That poor man has been salivating over you since the day he joined the track team your senior year, just so he could watch your tits bounce when you ran.
Nikki visibly pushed back the discomfort that surged between us and pinned one of those fake smiles on her mouth. Psh! Nikki stepped back and gestured at her chest. I wiped my brow. Why the fuck wasn't the air conditioner on? Was dying in there. What tits? I'm as flat as Kansas, she said, laughing and joking the way she'd done for all these years. Images rushed. The girl on my couch, her tit in my mouth, my hands on her body. Needs spun and licked and teased. She had no fucking clue just how perfect they were, peeking below that satiny material. Nikki's own personal form of harassment. Matt seems to be just fine with that? Rinna nodded emphatically. Great. That was all I needed. Nikki had yet another meddler urging her along, not that Rinna could have a clue. I glared between Rex and Kale. Where was my crew when I needed them most? Did they not see this bullshit? I mean, I know I'd taken responsibility for Nikki's well-being, but there were times when good friends should step in, like when a douche tried to make his way into territory he didn't belong. Fuck that. Rex met my eyes, narrowing his, studying me as he took a swig of his beer. Did he have any idea? All that time, Nikki and I had been sneaking around, hiding away, hoping Rex and Kale would be enough of a distraction that Sydney wouldn't notice. Guess I hadn't given it all that much thought, as to if they had. Hope landed a bunch of excited smacks against Nikki's arm, her eyes wide and her lips barely moving, like she thought she was telling a secret that she was actually issuing to the world.
Oh, don't look behind you, but he's coming this way. Oh, wow, he really is good-looking.
Hey, Kale defended. Now the asshole had something to say. She looked up at her husband, her red hair moving over her shoulders.
Oh, cowboy, I was talking about for Nikki. Don't get your britches in a twist.
He leaned down, rubbing his nose against hers.
Cowboy? I'm your king, baby.
Had to resist from balling up a dish rag and throwing it against the side of his face. Yeah, this was not going to end well. Because my guts were churning when Matt, the fucker, came up to the bar just behind where Nikki stood. He grinned at me like we were the oldest of mates.
Hey, man.
Still standing, he leaned his forearms on the bar.
How's it going?
Fan-fucking-tastic, that's how. Good, I rumbled. I tossed a napkin down in front of him. What can I get you? How about the door?
Whatever's on tap.
Everything's on tap, asshole. But I didn't say anything. I just filled up a chilled mug with a light. Figured that was all the pussy could handle. I smiled at him when I slid it across the bar. All teeth.
Thanks, brother,
he said like he didn't even notice I was 5 seconds from ripping him to shreds. He lifted it in the air before he took a big swallow.
Sure thing.
He was grinning when he moved into the circle, going right for her.
Hey, Nikki, it's good to see you.
She peeked my way. A flash of indigo. A glimpse of the freckles on her defined cheeks. My chest tightened. She offered him a small smile.
Hi, Matt. How have you been?
Good, good, he said. Work's busy, but other than that, I can't complain. You?
Same here.
Seemed like so many lies fell from her mouth with that simple statement, like all this bullshit wasn't going down in her life. This was brutal, watching them chat like every word wasn't killing me. I was a hot second from losing my cool. Turned out it was Nikki who was getting ready to do all the shredding, and the girl didn't even have to lift a finger. Our friends had turned to each other, talking quietly, giving them space, while I scrubbed at the bar with a rag and tried to pretend like it wasn't any of my business. Didn't matter. The turn in Nikki and Matt's conversation hit me like a loudspeaker screaming in my ear.
Band's good tonight. You want to dance?
Matt asked. Of course, that was when Lilith found it fit to pipe in. She all but shoved Nikki his direction.
Sure she does.
There was no missing the resistance that lined Nikki's posture when Lily pushed her that way, the way her shoulders went up and her shoes slid across the floor. An inch, and then two. Enough to make my mind tip to the side, axis creaking, threatening to crack. Nikki peeked back at me. Was that an apology? Or her own anger and frustration, her spirit screaming out that I was responsible for this. I'd known all along that one day she'd move on, find joy, a husband and a family and a load of kids, exactly what she deserved, the way she'd dreamed about growing up.
How many kids are we going to have?
she'd whispered when she was just 15, laying on a bed of blazing stars, nestled on my chest as we'd looked up at the night sky. Three? One little girl with your eyes and two boys just like me? She giggled. I don't think I could handle three of you. It was what I'd wanted for her, even though the thought destroyed something in me. Of her finding that with someone other than me. Then I'd gone and ruined every chance she'd had, chased off every guy, certain they weren't good enough for her. Amusement was suddenly in her smile, wry as her gaze moved across all the girls, then she turned back to Matt. Actually, all my friends would like to dance? Another warning in her expression when she looked back at them. Wouldn't they? She spun around, facing them as she backed away and waved for them to follow. The girl was wearing this short, frilly skirt and a silky tank, heels on her feet making her legs look like they were a mile long. Everything about her was exotic and still as comfortable and down-to-earth as a home-cooked meal. Yeah, I wanted to fucking eat her, devour every inch. Jenna clapped in excitement, while Hope passed her drink off to Kale, pecking him on the lips before she rushed to join them. Lilith? Lilith hit me with a smirk as she let go of Broderick's hand and then followed Hope. Swore to God the world was against me. Cursed. They edged into the thick pushing through the raving throng. Bodies surged and swayed and pulsed. They all made their way to the dance floor at the base of the elevated stage. Nearly choked when Matt edged up to Nikki from behind and tugged her against his chest. In the roiling crowd, she was facing me when he splayed his hand across her belly. From across the space, those mesmerizing eyes, so odd of a color you could vanish in the depths, tangled with mine. Hypnotizing. A motherfucking spell. Black fucking magic. That was what she was. Rage blew in like a bleak black storm. Rex looked that way before he turned back to me with a grumbled laugh. You're so fucked, dude. I wiped at the bar so hard I was pretty sure it was rubbing off the glossy stain, stripping it down to bare bones. That was exactly what it felt like. Bare bones. What's that supposed to mean? I gritted. He shared a look with Kale before he turned back to me. If you saw your face right now, you'd know exactly what that means. Don't know what you're talking about. You still gonna stand there and deny it after all this time? Unease rippled through me. Maybe he really had had a clue. Deny what? Disappointment came out with the shake of his head before he tipped back his beer and drained the bottle. He stood and slammed the empty on the bar. Think I'm gonna go claim my girl before some poor unknowing bastard has to die trying. Someone else here might want to do the same. And he wasn't looking at Kale or Broderick when he said it.
Chapter 24. Nikki. Chaos drummed through the air. I felt caught up in it. Elevated and lost. My feet not quite touching the ground, held by the sapphire gaze that ravaged me from across the space. Intense, fierce, and blistering. Torment and need and possession. Crash after crash. Matt slipped his hand around my waist and pulled me flush against his body. A shudder ripped free of my lungs. It wasn't even close to being elicited by Matt's touch. It was because the only thing I could feel was Ollie covering me. I didn't even have to close my eyes to imagine the man was touching me everywhere, the sensation of his hands from last weekend still alive and vibrant, sizzling across my flesh. Turmoil played across Ollie's striking face. It was possessive and wild, and still incredibly sad. Unable to remain upright under the severity of it, I tore myself out of Matt's hold and whirled around to face him, turning my back to Ollie because I no longer knew how to stand beneath it all. The sorrow and the regret and the need. In the throbbing crush, I struggled to maintain balance where my friends danced around me as if they couldn't feel the quake of the earth that rocked beneath my feet. Dim lights were at one with the smoky fog that twisted and twined in the air, the bar nothing but a dizzying haze. Bodies pulsed, a mass that toiled in the hypnotic beat. Matt slanted me a smile, what he thought was seduction carved out on his face, and my stomach turned. I didn't want this. Not tonight. Not when I wanted to turn around, go to Ollie, and tell him I wasn't going anywhere. Promise him I'd stay. Matt edged forward again. This time he placed